Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day. What a glorious day it is to be alive. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. There's none like him this morning, friend. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever report you have received, whatever unexpected bill came in the mail, I'm telling you, he is more than enough. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Let it be upon you today. Praying for you as you go about your beautiful Wednesday morning. A little bit drizzly out there, but what a morning. It's a beautiful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. We say that every morning, but we mean it. It may be drizzly outside, but the brightness of the Lord is shining upon us this morning. And just thankful that you have given us your ear this beautiful day for a couple hours or maybe 30 minutes or on your drive to work, whatever it is. We're honored and humbled by that. Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Speaking of, I thought you were calling me out there with the unexpected bills.
Oh.
I actually did. I have a situation, but I'm trusting the Lord with it. I can't find where the bill is coming from.
Oh.
So I'm trusting the Lord is going to work it all out because it's very confusing. But I trust him that he will provide for it. It's really weird because, like, you get, you know, normally if you get a bill for something and you're enrolled in the text thing,
yeah,
it'll text you it. And you should be able to access anything like on that,
sure,
website, like for that. But it's really weird. Like, I don't know if it's a mess up or if it's just like the Lord trying to test my patience. I don't know.
Is there a number you can call?
No. So it only, this one, there was one that I had already paid, and I just assumed that the other bill that came in the mail was from that same service, but they didn't send anything, so I'm still searching for the mail. That's my problem. That's why I like doing text stuff, because it's easier to keep up with them.
Yeah.
If I don't find that piece of paper, so pray I find the piece of paper. I don't find that, then I have to wait until they send another one.
Yeah.
Like the next month. So
you shall findeth the papereth. All right.
But I'm good. It's a beautiful day. I didn't even know it was sprinkling.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't when I was outside, but.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Well, I don't know what's got into Hannah here, but she's been here twice this week when I've arrived early. Actually, back-to-back mornings now. So the Lord has...
I'm starting to rise earlier for other... Like, just... He's helping me with it. There's reasons he's having me do it, but it's helping. It's helping me get here early, so...
I don't know.
It's a win-win.
The lights were already on, and... I was thinking, Mr. Tim's feeling better, and nope, it was Hannah. It was Hannah. So the Lord is moving in mighty ways.
Well, I do. There's a group of us. We are trying to work on some of our, well, we talked about crucifying our flesh at young adult group, and then it just keeps coming up about, like, just certain strongholds that we have in our flesh. And so there's a group of us kind of trying to keep each other accountable with some stuff. So the Lord's working, and I'm thankful. So
hallelujah. Well, it's a glorious day. We have a couple of announcements. We have a lot of, we have a lot of tent meetings going on right now.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We got Zachary Capp's tent meeting in Litchfield, Kentucky, June the 4th through the June 15th. We have the I Am Tent Revival, Monday, June the 3rd through the June the 9th. That was with Pastor Chris and Pastor Tasha and Pastor... Chris McGuffin, and I think there's maybe a few more in there as well. And
yeah, I know Jeremy Paul.
Yeah, Jeremy's going to be preaching one night.
And then
Billy
Curl? Yes, Billy Curl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Billy Curl's going to be in there one night. And then Brother Whitney Ward is going to have one revival tent mm-hmm. meeting at White Mills exit off of Western Kentucky Parkway. 6 o'clock p.m. Central, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
Man, Brother Whitney, he's in both revivals, so he'll be busy.
Yeah, May the 30th through June the 1st. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord for those, getting those going. And that's going to be some great times in the presence of the Lord and praying for souls to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Then we've got the women's tea here this Saturday at 12 noon. at high noon this Saturday. Women's tees. Come on out, ladies. Dress up. Bring your daughters. Have a great time of fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Miss Crystal Taylor is going to bring an encouraging word that morning to the ladies. And so, really excited for the testimonies that are going to come out of that. Awesome time of just being able to meet together with other ladies. And then Heritage Messengers in concert June the 8th at Memorial Chapel Church of God with Pastor, excuse me,
Mike Biggs. Memorial Chapel Church of God.
Yeah. I thought I was feeling better until I start talking with Pastor Mike Biggs. So
it
right
stirs
there.
Up all the stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Bear with us.
I was feeling better this morning until I started talking. So that's going to be a concert there again June the 9th there at Memorial Chapel Church of God. Let's see. Am I missing anything?
Did you mention the Zach Caps?
Yes, one? I got that one.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah.
If you all have any other announcements, send them our way.
And also, if you guys have your all's VBS schedules and you want us to start announcing your VBS for you, just go ahead and send that in. 270-230-6337 is my text number. Again, that's 270-230-6337. You can text me the information. Please put your church name and the dates and the times. And that would be awesome. Again, the name of your church, the dates, and the time. And we'll be glad to get that on that list of announcing for VBSs. I know here are Bethel Fellowships. Here at Bethel Fellowship, ours is about 2 months away. I think it starts July the 23rd. And so it's just going to be, there's so many that go on during the summer. And a lot of times we can't keep up with everything unless we get your all's help. So just get the information in there. And we'd be glad to get that on the docket to announce and discuss. Amen.
I've looked on Facebook for local ones, and I don't see any, but I might need to do a better search.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that some might have, but I don't know if it's on. I don't see any on Facebook events, so I would have to do some more digging. But normally I know Cross Point. There is a Cross Point on here, but it's the one in Owensboro.
Yeah.
But Cross Point puts on a really awesome VBS.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that they usually have theirs. Cross Point and Clarkson Community have theirs out.
First Baptist does a phenomenal job with their VBS as well. My kids have gone to First Baptist a few times when they were younger, for sure.
Yeah.
And that was always they did a really good job with theirs.
They just have a really nice church. Really nice.
Yeah.
Facility. Sanctuary, and we used to have our choir concerts there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They have really good acoustics in there. It's beautiful. Yep.
Oh. Trying to think here. I don't want to miss anything.
Any announcements, Kaylee or Jacob? We need to know?
No.
Kaylee, you got any announcements?
Thinking. Thought bubbles.
No, just that God is good. I mean, that's not my testimony to share, but he's really good in the sense of providing and protecting.
Amen.
There was an awesome testimony this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't witness, but I heard about a testimony, so I hope they do share.
Yeah.
The Lord's protection was with
divine
family
protection
this morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I guess we'll move into Daniel. Where are we tabbed at, Hannah? Where are we tabbed at?
We actually didn't. We're in verse 20 because we didn't get to.
We didn't get very far. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. That's what I don't have it tabbed past. Because I don't think we talked about Gabriel's interpretation.
So what I
you actually went back.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that while I'm gone, you all get a lot of verses done, and when I'm here, we get through like two.
Well, it's because we backtracked a little bit, but it was to get the context.
Yeah, that's what I hear. All right.
But we're almost done with Daniel, so it's actually
not
a bad thing to go a little bit slower.
And I've been thinking about that a little bit. We only got a couple more chapters in Daniel, and I keep on thinking about the book of James. Mm. I don't know why. Keep on thinking about the book of James next.
It's a good book.
We'll see.
Kingdom Corner is out of James today.
See? Maybe it's prophetic.
That's Kaylee's most used term. We've decided that her most used term is That's prophetic.
As long as it's not pathetic.
Hallelujah. As long as it's not prophelying.
Right.
As long as we're not prophelying, pathetic will be prophetic.
Hallelujah.
All right. Or prosthetic. We don't want prosthetic either.
What other? Do you remember from yesterday? Okay, I got to say this real quick before we get into Daniel. So, do we remember, I think all of us remember the conversation about the rapture and Jacob's text.
Yeah.
Well, there was another, we were talking about the rapture yesterday with someone who has an artificial hip.
Oh, I remember now.
Falling out of the sky.
And they talked about they said, you know, we were just dying laughing. They were talking about, you know, their body rising and their artificial hip just falling. It reminded me of your comment, Jacob. I was like, I've never thought about that. People who have screws and, you know, artificial hip, you know, prosthetic leg. Never thought about it. Yeah. It reminded me of Jacob.
Jacob, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you plug her mic back in? She broke the mic.
I did.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Jeremy Stone texted me. He gave me his testimony. Is this the one?
Yes.
So he said, giving God glory this morning, the devil thought he was going to take us off this world, but God had different plans. We almost flipped the van trying to miss a deer with God's hand on the van. While it was out of control, he kept us upright, even when the tires come off the ground four different times, but God said, I got you. Never think God's not with you, because he is so much to be grateful for this morning. So hallelujah. Wow. Praise the Lord. What a powerful testimony. I've been there too. I know what it's like. I've hit when I was in the bread truck, I hit a pocket on the WK one morning. And it's like, you're in those big old bread trucks and stuff like that. If you catch one of those open wind fields, oh, it gets hard. And I remember I was poking along about 70, 75 on the parkway like normal. And I hit the wind and it shook me. But basically at the same time, you had this family of deer that was out. And I don't know how I went through three or four deers, but literally the truck just kind of like slid in between naturally.
Yeah.
And you're just like, thank you, Lord.
Well, I know there was one time we were going to see my grandfather down in Butler County. It was nighttime. And couldn't hardly see down. If you ever go down 79 at night, it's pretty dark. So we're going down through there, and these deer come across. And I'm kind of half asleep. And I get up, and I turn the wheel. I normally don't do that. I hardly ever. Usually I'm slamming on the brakes or something. But I turn the wheel. There's no shoulder or nothing. And we go off, slide off the road, and there's this deer on my left, and there's deer on my right, and we squeeze in between them. So I go back to that same place, and I said, Kirstie, let's look where I swerved. And it was like maybe 2 feet from where I slid at, there was a telephone pole.
Oh, wow.
Right there sitting there. I was like, oh, there's no way, Kirstie, I could have done that without Jesus guiding us through that. So wow. It's awesome.
I'm very thankful, because there's been times I used to drive back and forth to Campbellsville in the morning, and everybody knows my struggles in the morning. I mean, it was early, it was like 4 a.m., maybe 3, 4 a.m. So, I mean, it was early, early morning, and it was tough to stay awake. There's times my eyes would just close while I was driving, and I know he was with me. And times that I've turned, you know, went to make a turn and didn't see a car, and I should have hit the car, and he's protected me. So prayers over your family while they're traveling, they work. And anointing your car. Kaylee anointed my car one day. It was actually Ethan's car. And there was a car coming around over by the apartments. And we should have probably, I couldn't see the car at all because of how they're parked over there. And there was somebody visiting. And I should have hit, and it was a nice car too. I don't know whose car it was, but we completely missed each other. So
yeah.
Wow.
I thought I was going to have to anoint Tana's car that one time I tried to move it.
Yeah, I say, you know, my car, it looks rough on the outside, but it's good on the inside.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the car.
Oh, the inside now is rough too because of the
it's just a gear shift. It's like a trick gear shift. Like you have to poke something and move it this way, and then it's like you got to unlock this. It's probably the greatest anti-theft mechanism you've ever seen.
They just give up.
even if they were able to start the car, they couldn't move it.
I'm still wondering how the people at the car shop move it without me teaching them. They must have seen it before.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot.
We better get into danger, I guess.
Well, hold on. Miss Gail said, oh, no, I have both knees replaced. Watch out, folks.
That's a knee sniper. Clear the way. I guess it depends on where you're at. If you're at home, you're just ready.
You have gold teeth or something?
That's a dentures.
And then they fall in somebody's hand. It's raining gold.
I think they've done a doodle of that, like a picture of that.
Hey, don't Brandon Goosetree have like a metal plate in his head?
So does Nolan.
So those metal plates will be falling out the sky. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
Poor Brandon. He said
left behind 2.0.
Brandon, that's the views of Jacob Swift. No one's in the same predicament. All right, Daniel. Gotta get spiritual here. We're going to go back to Gabriel. Chapter 9, verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, oh, Daniel, I have come, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. For you are greatly loved, therefore consider the word and understand the vision. So moving back to 20, I was reading all four verses, so we are at least going to get through four verses today.
Hallelujah.
If I can talk without coughing. Brandon also said that he has a metal plate in his leg.
Oh, that's right. No, he won't ever let me forget that one.
Yeah. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. Again, Daniel here he's including himself in this confession. He's not like, Lord, these people, they have sinned. Mm. He's saying, I have sinned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if Daniel didn't sin, he included himself in the sins of his people. Mm. And he said, we have sinned. He said, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. Again, if you go back up, he's looking for the face of the Lord to shine. Mm. He's wanting to ascend the hill of the Lord. He's praying for the presence and the glory of God to come back into Israel, because God had left Israel at this point. Israel was in a backslidden state. They were in exile. The temple was shut down. The glory of God was not present. There was a separation there. There was any time that Israel had an exile, it was really, in actuality, you could think of it as like a judgment. It was God's judgment upon Israel, because they had rebelled. They had disobeyed. And Israel was notorious for following the Lord, turning away from the Lord, worshiping idols, and then coming back to the Lord. So the reciprocal cycle was, they would serve the Lord, they would rebel, sin, worship idols, God would raise up a judge or a prophet, call them to repentance, Israel would come back to repentance, and then Israel would be prosperous for a season, and then you would see Israel rebel, fall back into sin. It's the reciprocal cycle. And Israel, how dare you? But then we're the same people. We're the same people. And so we're still there a lot. Yeah. And it's the reciprocal cycle of the ups and the downs and it doesn't make it right. I'm just telling you, don't be so quick to judge Israel. Yeah.
And don't be so quick to always think the enemy is sending things your way. Yeah. Because we see the Lord used things to judge in order to produce a change in the people, which is what he's doing with us too. And so when people try to say, like, well, why would the Lord do anything? Why would he do this to me? Or why would he send? It's always for the good, because he's holy. So he can't do anything that's unjust.
Right.
He can't do anything that's for our harm. Because his word tells us that. And his word never returns void. So
I like how Daniel was standing in the gap. And so many Christians are not today. Because that's what we're called to do, to stand in the gap for people and not look down upon people. Like, he could have, but he, like Aaron said, he included himself, mm-hmm. and he's standing in the gap for others.
I think the reason why is because he had love for him. Like, he had Christ-like love. And I think that's
he was always looking through the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem, because, like, if our love isn't right towards our people or our nation, then we're not going to pray.
Because he's always, I mean, Jesus is always giving intercession and standing in the gap for us. We should do the same for others.
Yeah.
Might be the difference, you know. That might be the very thing that you're standing in the gap, may be the very thing that brings them back. You know, it may be the very thing that keeps them from an awful situation sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why prayer is so important. And that's what I love about Daniel. He was a prayer warrior like none other.
Yeah.
And he was one of those who you look at him and you're like, man, I wish I could be like that guy. You know, so many times we fall short in that area. But that stuck out to me about standing in the gap. I think that's something that God is really emphasizing in these last days, is that we stand in the gap for each other and for the people. You know, instead of trying to smite down so much stuff on so many, maybe we need to take it upon ourselves and start praying and start seeing things change through prayer. Because sometimes we can't change things with our words. Not always. And sometimes it takes prayer, you know.
My nose hurts. All right. My face just has hurt for days now. I'm sorry. It hurts in here.
Healed in Jesus' name. Stand in the gap for Aaron right now.
Yes. We stand in the gap. Yes, speak life over Aaron.
Like, my jaws, the sinus pressure has been so bad for 3 days. Like, when you bend over, you feel every heartbeat and every vein in your head.
I hate that. Oh.
And your mouth hurts, your jaw hurts, your ears, your throat, your nose. And so if I sound bad or coughing or blow my nose and I forget to mute my mic, I'm sorry. I'm trying.
That was a little hard for editing the podcast. I'm like, I'm sorry, y'all, if I missed a nose blow in there when I was editing. I tried to edit out all of what I heard, but.
I wouldn't even know if I'd edited yesterday. That's probably a lot of nose blows.
I guess I could have just took you completely out, but then we would hear everybody talking, and then just hear silence.
I bet my mic is hard, because your all's chairs don't squeak. My chair squeaks a lot too. And so between the squeaking chair, the rolling chair, and my nose blows yesterday, it was probably a hard podcast.
Just make a podcast of all the nose blows.
No, no, like, you know how people make those songs with all the different sounds of things that people do? Make a song.
No, you don't want these. These are bad. I don't know. I've never felt like this.
So before. Did you get like this right after y'all got back?
No, I've been like this for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Did it get worse,
so it
I guess?
It started in Kentucky.
It got worse Saturday when I got back. But, I've had this pressure for about 2 weeks now.
Hmm.
And homeboy don't have health insurance, so I'm just going to figure out some way to knock it out.
Jesus, pressure. Okay. Pressure is...
I'm sitting over here thinking, dudes, don't even make fun of me. That's prophetic.
But I feel more pathetic right now than prophetic. But.
Well, sometimes you got to go through the pathetic stuff.
All right. Now, here's the awesome thing. So we're talking about Daniel praying here. And here's the beautiful thing. Daniel is being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, at the first of the vision, who showed up? Gabriel. Who showed up again?
Messenger.
Gabriel. It's the messenger. It's the angelic visitation of Gabriel coming. And Gabriel then approaches him again in 21. Does the King James says messenger?
No. I was just saying he's a messenger.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought I said Gabriel. So now Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first, so now Daniel's saying this Gabriel I've seen the first of it too, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding."
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just give him the vision, the angelic messenger, as Hannah said, Gabriel, he's also going to expound. He's going to give revelation. He's going to do this. And I think this is some truth that we can see. Like, for me, do I think Gabriel's going to show up every time Jacob prays?
Mm-mm.
Well, maybe not. But I do know that Hebrews tells me that these angels are here to minister to the heirs of salvation, which is us. And I think that sometimes we negate angels and what they do out of fear of worshiping angels and idolizing them.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I don't think we should ever negate angels. And now, again, I'm going to say this, and I've studied angels and demons quite a bit at this point, I feel like, in scripturally. Now, if you want to take some things plus people are saying about, like, me, I'm not going to preach a lot about demons outside of what I just hear in scripture. Yeah. Same thing with angels. I'm not doing either one.
You don't want to make a movie about it, right?
I'm not going to do anything like that. You will never be an angel. So when you pass away, heaven does not gain another angel. Heaven gains a saint.
Yes. All right?
Angels are already created. There's a lot about angels and demons that we do not understand. But here is the one thing that I don't think we comprehend enough. Angels are here to minister to us, but you do not have the authority to control them. And there's nowhere in scripture does it give you permission to release angels, to tell angels what to do anything. I believe that that's the Lord's sovereignty and that's the Lord's goodness. He releases angels. You'll never actually see in scripture where anybody controlled angels. Angels showed up. Mm-hmm. Angels did what angels are supposed to do. Now, will we judge angels one day? There is that scripture. But we are never called to loose angels. Now, we can pray, Lord, loose your angels, or something like that. I'm just trying to be obedient to scripture because I feel like a lot of people dictate angels, and I don't think that's right. And I think we have to be careful not to worship angels.
Right. There's a scripture I want to find. I can't find it right now, though, but it talks about when it's either when we pray or when we speak the word. I don't know what it says, but it talks about releasing ministering angels. But it's not saying that we are dictating where they go, we're commanding them, we're telling them where to go. It's something about, it's like a natural consequence. But
is it Psalms 91:11? For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go?
Possibly. I think it says ministering angels.
Because. Well, the only part
I've heard,
the only part I know about ministering angels would be Hebrews 1:14. Ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation.
I'll have to dig for it.
I'm digging right now.
But I don't think in any way, like, I've never seen a scripture that said, like, we tell them what to do.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful with that. And I think, because whatever, I think we take the scripture, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I think sometimes we take that out of context. Even the verse, like, speak things into existence that were not. If you read that verse, the context of which that's written is a lot different than the context we use it sometimes. So this is where I'm at in my life. Like, I want to be as biblical as we possibly can, because I think in biblical correctness, there's a release of his true glory. And I think sometimes one of the reasons that we do not see the great move that we're in faith to see is that faith can't trump disobedience and faith can't trump sin. All right, just hear that. We can have the faith that God's going to move the mountain, but if we're in sin and causing the mountain's probably not going to be moved.
Right.
Makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
And so we have faith for God to move, but when we do things outside of his will and his order, then our faith will never override that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me, it takes me back to Jesus could have done those miracles. He could have done those miracles, but they didn't have the faith. So it's like, what he's saying is, like, your call's in the mountain, but you're wanting it to be moved. So you can't, that's double.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
It's contradicting.
Yeah, it's contradicting.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, it's.
But there does come a instance, as in, like, when we're praying for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking those things that we want to see because we want to use our tongue to speak life over them instead of speak death. Like, speaking that they're just going to continue in where they're at. We want to see them where they're going, even though we got to call out the sin, and we got to pray that sin would go, but we're going to speak what we want to see in them rather than speak word curses over them.
Yeah.
But I think that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's speaking faith, and that's sowing seed, and that's praying and interceding, and plus it's him doing it at the end of the day.
Right.
And maybe we'll look at that verse today, sometime this morning, and look at it. We'll find that during the break, and we'll try to find that when you were talking about releasing.
Mm-hmm. I did have one more thing to say about this, but we got to go to break.
Well, I am going to say this part because I'm going to finish these verses. So angel shows up, Gabriel shows up, giving him insight. And this is what he says. At the beginning of your pleas, your mercy, for mercy, a word went out. And I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Gabriel's basically saying, you were heard. You were heard. And you're loved, Daniel. And the vision went out because you are loved. It's basically what Gabriel told him. He said, basically saying, this happened and this vision and this understanding happened because you were heard. And you are loved. I love that.
That's powerful.
So, all righty. Well, I guess we'll do our first trivia question. Everybody's looking up scripture. And they, Jacob, did you find anything yet?
That's a good way to end it. I think that's how we need to end it for the break. That was a good
Wednesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who is said to be from the herdsmen of, oh gosh, Tekoa? How you say that, Hannah? How T-E-K-E-O-A.
Tekoa, sounds good.
Tekoa. Yeah. That's how I would say it. All right. Who is said to be from the herdsmen of Tekoa? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. Still choking. Still coughing. But it's good to be in the house of the radio for the Lord. I don't know how you say that. This is a place of the Lord. This is a place of His presence. Amen. It's good to be with you all this morning. If you're just now joining in, thank you for you to be a part of it. If you've been listening to us all morning, thank you for enduring. Just humbled by the fact that you open your ear to us 2 hours every single weekday morning. We do not take that for granted. And we do not have an answer for that trivia question yet. It's probably because I don't know how to say it. But I did. Tanya did tell me yesterday, we were saying Antiochus wrong Monday.
How do you say it?
Antiquus or something like that, or Antiochus, Tychius? Antiochus, I think. Is that right, Jacob? Antiochus?
I don't know. Don't ask me how to speak those words.
I tell Tanya that people love it when we mispronounce words.
I love it when Aaron does.
Okay, I think I found.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think I might have found the scripture.
Okay.
That was supporting this. So it's saying, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. So it's not about obeying the voice of our word, but it was talking about when we speak his word, like when we speak the scripture, they do his word.
Read that again. Is in Psalms, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
103. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion.
Yeah. One more time, what's that reference?
Psalms 103:20.
Yeah. I need to see something real fast. But if I'm not mistaken, that verse may not mean what you're thinking it means. In the Hebrew. But I do know
sometimes angels refer to, like, people, right? Like messengers that aren't actually angels.
103 what?
20.
My head's pounding still.
I don't know if this is the verse that the person was talking about, but this is the one that I found that would support that idea of when we speak the word, that angels carry it out.
Well, I could understand some things like that. The Lord commissions angels to do it.
But it's not anything about us telling them what to do, but I'm pretty sure that's what this person was saying, is like when we declare his word and we speak it out into the atmosphere, it releases, because when God spoke his word, his creation.
And when we come into alignment with his word, he's able to move.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the case with Gabriel, because if he's a messenger, then God had to tell him where to go. And if we're speaking God's word, then I can see that.
Now, here, I actually probably agree with the interpreters who interpret this as angels as in messenger in the sense of prophets or people, saints.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it does get a little bit careful in the Old Testament, especially in the Hebrew, that the word there is a word called Melach or Melach or Ach. Is that better?
Melach. Knows.
From an unused root word meaning to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger specifically of God, and an angel, also a prophet, priest, or teacher, ambassador. Could mean angel, but also could mean king or just a plain messenger.
And so it could include all.
Yeah. And here,
some of the Hebrew words.
Well, if we look here, what's this whole verse talking about? If you go back up to verse 1, bless the Lord all the, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Not forget not the benefits of his salvation. Well, we're the only ones that can be saved. Mm. Who redeemeth my life from destruction. Angels' lives are not redeemed from destruction. And then he keeps going on, for as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions. The whole verse here is talking about saints being, you know, born again, God mm-hmm. renewing, God doing all this. The Lord has prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all you messengers or angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Well, as far as we understand, like, we're the ones commissioned to do commandments. And then bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all that works in all his place of dominion. And that would be regions, or, and all dominions would be geographical regions, metronic places, stuff like that. So I favor this verse actually to be probably more people-centric than it is angel-centric. But that's just me. I could be wrong on it.
I think it could speak to both, though. Like, because, I mean, an angel has to obey the voice of the Lord. So do you see what I'm saying? Like, and the voice of the Lord is the word of God. The word of God is the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where angels have to, but I think we're going back to the number one principle of Bible scripture of sticking to the context. And this whole psalm would be alluding to people, because angels don't have fathers. And angels can't be forgiven. And angels can't have transgressions removed.
Yeah, no, I mean, if the Hebrew says that, that's what this is talking about. I'm talking about the original statement of when we pray, when we speak the word. If you're looking at,
well,
just...
Well, the Bible talks about when we speak the word, it will not come unto us void. So however the Lord accomplishes the word, that's up to him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's... I'm okay with that statement. But even like... Daniel, in all of this discussion with Gabriel, or all these discussions with angels that he's having, or anytime we see a discussion with an angel anywhere in scripture, there's never a dictating.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
There's always actually a great fear. And there's always, especially throughout the scripture, really, there's even this, don't worship me, mm-hmm. or don't be afraid.
Yeah.
I think if we really seen angels, they would halfway terrify us.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
And I think sometimes, like, I've heard people praying and they're just like just bossing angels around, and I'm just like, I don't think you understand exactly what's going on in the spirit.
Yeah.
And I think what happens sometimes, here's where, and I'm probably getting myself in a lot of trouble, people like, I mean, people are they're wanting to text me right now. I think sometimes, and hear my heart before anybody gets mad at me, because this is not to be mean. I'm not trying to be judging. I think a lot of us are just more arrogant than we are faithful.
Mm.
And I think a lot of us are operating out of pride more than we are humility. And in the spirit, there's a difference between boldness and pride.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be careful not to cross that line. Because I think when we start operating in pride and arrogance and not faith and humility, there's a difference. Like, an ambassador has the authority of the king, but we always have to remember the ambassador is not the king.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambassador can only relay and confirm an authority what the king has already established.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I've been in services to where people are praying, and instead of shifting things, they're trying to manipulate things into what they want.
They're trying to be in charge. Like, Yeah. So that's why I agree. I don't think anybody can just command angels around.
Yeah.
But the only thing in that topic that I have heard before is that when we pray and we're praying the scripture, it's almost like it's like the idea of we're changing the atmosphere with the word of God. And if somewhere is being changed with the word of God, that place is inviting the Lord to work in that area. Does that make sense? Like if we're praying and like speaking the scripture out into the atmosphere somewhere.
Yeah.
We're not commanding anything. We're not deciding what angel goes where, but we're bringing the glory in a place to where the Lord can use that place and work in that place and do whatever he wants. So in that, I do think he could, if he wanted to, release angels to minister or to work or do. But
well, I don't disagree with anything there.
Yeah, that's just what I'm saying. I don't think we get to decide anything about their...
I mean, orders. We release the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within me.
And in that, I do think angels work.
So I don't even think that we speak to the angels. I mean, that's just... I don't even... Like, it's kind of like somebody saying, Gabriel, come help me. No, you don't do that. Yeah. And I've known people that do that. I've seen them. And especially in the casting out side of things. You know, people... I said, you need to ask... When you need help, you go to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus only. Lord, help me. Send some help. I need some help right now.
Well, it says test the spirits, too.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous territory.
You're almost praying to angels at that point.
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm seeing it happening more and more. And that's kind of where that's in another topic. I've kind of...
Do you all think... I've thought about this. Do you all think that's a way that divination starts sometimes when people are operating in that pride?
Yeah. You've got Joseph Smith. You've got Alice Bailey. Yeah. You've got all these over the years that had come. Now, I don't think it's – we do see in Scripture the precedent is set if an angel shows up and you can see the angel, you can converse with it.
Yeah.
You just don't worship it. You don't idolize it.
Yeah.
And if a spirit ever leads you away, people – is lead you away from the truth of the gospel, let them be accursed. That's what the scripture says. And if you ever try to worship something and it lets you, it's not of God.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Those are precedents we see in the scripture. But Jacob, I completely agree with you. Like, you have to be careful. Like, I think one of the most dangerous things people do is the guardian angel stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nowhere in the scripture for the precedents of that. But
and
what
happened? They're deceiving people, because when I was looking for the scripture, it said, scripture for guardian angels. There's like several things on here.
Yeah. That's kind of where I just like, and I think, I don't know which one of you all said it, like maybe Jacob, but you just said it, maybe. You know, I think that's where the difference is. Like, we pray to the Father through Christ. Christ is our intercessor. The Father releases angels to minister on our behalf.
Yeah.
We don't release them ourselves. Yeah. Like, I think we have to be careful not to try to do God's job.
Yeah. That's right.
And if we needed angels, now, then his word wouldn't be enough. He wouldn't be enough for us.
Yeah.
It would be him plus something.
We got to understand he's given them charge over us to protect us, to watch over us. That's him, not us.
Yeah.
He said it in his word. It's kind of like he's the God of angel armies. We're not.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we got to understand.
He's the captain of the host.
Yeah. Right. Actually, we have probably more authority in Jesus' name. Then they don't do that. They're just going. They come in behalf of the Father. They come in behalf of him. He's sent. And even if you go through and look at the bones of Moses, the angel. I'm guessing it's Michael. He says, "I come in the name of the one who sent me."
Right.
That's what he says. And he said, so he didn't have the authority over Satan to take those bones. He had to come in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm, like, I don't know why people call upon, they kind of pray to these angels. They have no power over Satan. They don't have that. Only in his name do we have power over them anyways. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Well, we actually don't have power over them. It's only through the authority.
That's what,
Jesus' name. And we could probably learn something from how angels operate, because angels don't send themselves.
No.
Yeah.
And they wait on the word of the Lord. And a lot of times we try to do things absent of the word.
Yeah.
So we have no word. We just have ourself.
Yep.
And Miss Gail said something. I was actually getting ready to say almost the same language, Gail. So Miss Gail, so I'm glad you said it. She goes, there's a phrase, stay in your lane. All creation, I was actually thinking the same thing, Miss Gail. All creation has a role to play out. We shouldn't try to do someone else's job. Stay in your lane. We don't run the show.
That's right.
And I think that we could hear that word. Like, is there great authority in the name of Jesus? Yes. Is the kingdom of God our responsibility to grow and to nourish in our own life? According to Peter and according to Luke and according to Matthew, yes, there is a responsibility on our part to grow this. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the Lord and his authority. It's his power. It's his glory. We have our responsibility. Peter tells us that. Make every effort to supplement faith for virtue and virtue for, you know, knowledge and knowledge for self-control and all these. Like, you're responsible for that effort. But at the end of the day, we all have our own responsibility. And I'm never going to be God.
Right.
This world is not going to be changed because Aaron has this epiphany. Right? Like,
and I did ask Aaron if he had an epiphany at the beach, though. Not to change the world.
Yeah, my epiphany is to have a lot of kids. But I think what we do a lot of times in prayer, in intercession, and why it's ineffective, let's just be honest with you. Sometimes we sit there and we pray for days, and nothing happens. And we can sit there and say, well, it's just going to happen later. Or we could sit there and say, are we praying our will and in our name, or are we praying his will and in his name?
Yeah.
And there is a significant difference.
Well, if things actually start getting worse when you're praying, I believe that happens when these, like, that was something I was going to say earlier with the visitation of the angel, is if we're not living out this word, like, I don't think Gabriel appeared to Daniel if he was just in rebellion.
Right.
Like, I don't think these angelic visitations and you know, the Lord's not going to trust us with a revelation if we're doing things outside of his will.
One listener popped in there and said, can you expound on Psalm 91, 11 through 12 specifically? Psalm 91 is a tremendous verse. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not surprised we got asked this question. So it says in the ESV, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. All right. So here again, I am not saying that I'm for angels protecting us. Hebrews 1, I think it's 1:14, says that the angels are ministers of fire. That's, I think 1:7 calls them a minister of fire.
Yeah.
1:14 says there's ministering spirits. Well, somebody may need to check me on that. 1:7 says something about ministers of fire.
Hebrews.
Yes.
All right. 1:14 says they're ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation.
Yeah.
All right. I'm 100% behind that. Now, do I think that we have one guardian angel that just follows us around? I do not. I don't think that's in Scripture. But I do believe we have angels encamped about us. And I believe probably even in this room and around this radio station, there's angels encamped about us. Because I don't even think we can fathom how many angels there are.
Right.
All right. Now, do I think that angels are still being created? I do not. I think they are created. Mm. I don't think there will be any more angels or demons created. I think they are what they are. Do I think that angels ever have the hope of redemption that failed? No, I do not. That redemption is given to mankind as the manifestation of the kindness of God towards us. It's to manifest his kindness. It's to show. Angels have no hope of redemption. And so when they fail, they fail. There is no creative angels, I don't believe, anymore. We don't have any evidence of that. I don't think angels have reproductive systems. I don't think that angels will ever be able to procreate. I think angels are created and that's it. And I think angels are in mass production, though. I'm talking there's more angels than we could ever fathom. If you read the indicators of Revelation, it talks about this great host of multitude. It's unimaginable. And I don't think that's just saints. I think that's angels and saints together worshiping. So do I think there's angels encamped about us and guarding us all the time? Absolutely. For those who are heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews chapter 1:14, they're there to minister to us. And in that ministering, we see angels bringing healing to Jesus. We see him whenever he's fasting. Who came to him and ministered to him in the desert? Angels. Who came to him in the garden? Angels. Angels came over and over and over and ministered to people to encourage, to uplift, to heal, to
to give energy, I guess you could. I don't know, like, I'm not talking about in a mystical way, but like Jesus is downtrodden, and the angels came to minister. Did they bring him food? Or they bring? I don't know what they did. I just know they came to minister to Jesus. I have no idea how they ministered to Jesus in the garden. It just we just know they ministered.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think that in this Psalm 91, 11 and 12 is basically telling us that the Lord is doing this. So actually, it's for me, it's kind of confirming what I'm trying to say. I'm not controlling what they're doing.
Yeah.
He's telling them. He's setting them in charge. If I dash my foot against a stone, they're there to help me. And I think sometimes like we were talking about the cars this morning. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was driving, you know that, Jacob, you drive this hill all the time, the big hill between Big Clifty and Clarkson,
mm-hmm.
back hill mm-hmm. curve. I had a trailer behind me carrying a couch one time in an old Suburban, and the tires weren't that great, and it started to rain. Well, I went down that hill, and I have no idea how I hydroplaned. But here I went down that whole hill sideways about 50 miles per hour. I couldn't stop. It was so wet. And you know there's that big old bluff. Yeah. Well, there's another car coming on the other side. I don't know how I got back in the other lane, because I had lost complete control, and the only thing I was doing at that point was just pressing the brake.
True.
Because if I try to flip the tire, I was going to flip us. And so I just remember, boom. See, in that, I think we say, like, in that moment, I know the Lord provided.
Yeah.
But I very well think it's possible angels pushed my car back over.
Yeah.
So I think this is where it's happening at. It's like God has angels there.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, when you hide in the shadow of the Almighty, they're there with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Psalm 91 tells us. He that hideth in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, that's where we hide. If we're out here trying to do our own thing, you know, may not be so great, you know. So I'm not saying that God's still not protecting some of those. That's not, because, you know, I thank God I had a praying grandma that kept me covered. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I said, you better be covered in prayer. I'm just telling you.
See, that's what I'm saying. Importance. Like, there most likely there could have been a prayer that preceded.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm
saying. The angel coming to help. But it's not that. That person is responsible for telling the angel to go.
Exactly.
Forward. Right.
We pray to the Lord, and he deals with how he wants to do it. But I do believe a lot of our prayers, probably the Lord hears them, and then he sends angels to do the work.
I like it. And I was reading Matthew. I was reading upon that. This one really is cool. Because you think about Jesus, you know, he could just say, come. But he tells, he's talking right here to, I don't think it's Peter. But he says, put up again thy sword in his place, for that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father that he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So I'm sitting there thinking, even Jesus was telling them that I can pray to my Father, you know, mm-hmm. because he had showed himself as a man on earth. So I don't know, that just stuck out with me there.
Yeah. Miss Gale said, Satan used Psalm 91, 11 to tempt Jesus, and he didn't yield. Neither should we.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 4, 6, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said unto him, go again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So, basically.
That's a warning.
Yeah. I think we have to be cautious of this. And I feel like a lot of times in prayer and intercession, and sometimes I think some of it's innocent. I think some of it's purely innocent, but I think we overstep our lane.
Yeah.
And now sometimes I think we do it in complete innocence, and then sometimes I think we do it in pride and arrogance. And I think that the right words with the wrong motive and the wrong heart never produces the right harvest. And so I think for me, this is why I say I want to be biblical as best we can, even if it makes us unpopular.
Right.
True.
I want to be back to biblicalness.
And we have to.
And so, Hannah, we'll do the Kingdom Corner when we come back.
Okay.
So, we're going to take a break, come back in here. Let me read this second trivia. Well, let's read the first one again. Who is said to be from the herdsmen of the Tekoa? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here. Before Hannah gets into the Kingdom Corner, tell them a little bit about our guest this morning coming up here, evangelists.
We have evangelist Asher Bach coming on. I'm not sure if you all are familiar. He, I met him through Potter's Hope. He used to lead worship there, but yeah. He has started a ministry. He does evangelism, and I'm not actually sure all that he's doing now. So I'm interested in to hear just what the Lord has led him into, and then I asked him to speak about like what the Lord's speaking to him right now. So
cool.
He'll be on at 8:30.
Amen. Well, take us into your kingdom corner since we missed it.
Slaughtered it.
Talking about angels.
Okay.
Not talking to angels. We're talking about angels.
Right.
Well, okay, I have something, maybe something about that after the Kingdom Corner, because I didn't get to it fully. But James chapter 1, verse 16 through 19, and then verse 21. So do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Okay, James, we hear you. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. This is ESV, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So there's so much here. I can't wait. I hope we do go into James so we can actually pick apart verse by verse. But here the things that stuck out to me was the word of truth and the implanted word. So it talks about of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So that shows us the power right there of the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
It moved. It transformed. It had action mm-hmm. to it. It had power behind it. And then it later talks about receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Was, is, and is to come. But the meekness is important, and this kind of goes along with what we were talking about earlier of that humility.
Mm-hmm.
When we receive an implanted word, when we put away the wickedness, and that's what we have to do, is we can't be in the flesh and be receiving implanted word of the Lord.
Right.
We can't be, you know, the flesh, sin doesn't glory in his presence. It just doesn't mix. And so that's important too, is the steps of submitting first, resisting, and then seeing what the Lord has to say. So those are the things that kind of just, I don't know, they stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
With the implanted word. And then it talks about the first fruits too. So when you talk about implanting, and you think about planting, actual planting things, it talks about if by his own will, he made a way for us to be the first fruits of his creation. And I was just looking into first fruits there. The Hebrew word for first fruit is, I can't pronounce it, but it translates to the promise to come.
Mm.
So when we give our first fruits, we faithfully place our hope in the Lord for the promises to come. It's a way of saying, God, you can trust me with the increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because hallelujah. I'm going to give it. I'm going to... this is so prophetic of what we talked about this morning, Kaylee.
Yes.
And I didn't even realize it when we were talking about putting that thing that God has trusted us with in the ground, in good soil.
Yep.
And then trusting that the increase is coming, but continuously putting it in his hands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is what it's saying, that we are the first fruits, actually. But it's also that first fruits is, so we're putting ourself, we're laying ourself down. Mm-hmm. We're putting ourself in the soil too, to trust him with the increase that's in our own life, to trust him with the promises that are to come in our own life.
Well, if we cling to our life, we lose it. But if we surrender it, we gain it back. So that goes, I feel like that goes right along with it. When you let go of something, you're able to, because like I was telling you this morning, you can't hold the seed and be like, okay, Lord, I'm wanting what this seed produces without first letting it go and letting it be put in the ground.
Yeah.
To grow, so.
And honestly, I knew first fruits of, like, actual first fruit is the agricultural produce of a season, the first agricultural produce of a season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the best, and especially when given as an offering to God. So right. it's giving him our best, kind of like the Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So not only that, that speaks so much too, because we're giving our whole self to him, but we're giving him our best
mm-hmm.
as well. And the first of, I mean, this can go into us actually giving him what we have, but when you talk about it as giving him ourself, I've never thought about that with us being that seed, us being honestly, it even goes back to, you know, the seed that other people planted in us
mm-hmm.
birthed what we are now.
Right.
You know, the seed of the word that was planted in us
mm-hmm.
did what this said here. It brought us forth from that ground, from the word of truth, by the word of truth, that we would be a first fruit of. So we were the first. We were the best of his creatures, because it says a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So that's just I never thought about this verse as us being that produce, I guess, the seed that was planted, his word that did the work, and then bringing us forth, and then we just go right back into the same cycle
mm-hmm.
of the growth, because once we're brought forth as the first fruit, then we surrender ourselves, we put ourselves back, we mm-hmm. give ourselves back to him, and then he just keeps producing stuff out of that cycle. So, you know, the part about being quick to hear and slow to speak and then slow to anger, that's the part in this that I normally focus on, and it's very important to focus on because the Lord's been bringing that back to my attention. But even thinking about this idea of producing things and the first fruits, we talked about this too, I think it was yesterday, Kaylee, about the ear being a womb.
Yep.
And when we think about that with the being quick to hear and then slow to speak, he's producing things every time we hear from him. We're going to be a lot more productive if we're being quicker to hear, because then we are that implanted word is going to be implanted in us mm-hmm. and we're going to keep producing good fruit, rather than if we're always speaking, then we're not going to be conceiving the revelation
right.
and then bringing it forth. So there's more here than I realized, and it's a good. I'm excited to get into James because it's very practical.
Yes.
But that's the word today, is let that word be implanted. Let's be quick to hear, so that, you know, now that we're the first fruit, we are the promise to come, and we can look forward to the promises to come in our life if we will be quick to hear, if we will keep our ear inclined to him and his spirit, then he will continue to produce out of the produce that he already produced, if that makes sense. So that's the Kingdom Corner for today.
Amen.
No, I didn't have scripture.
Or you was going to ask.
It was an idea about the angels, but I don't know if we have any other Bible questions or anything.
I don't have any pressing right now, so if you want to say what you were going to say on the angels.
Well, we did have that one scripture about the speak those things.
Yeah, we can cover that, but we can get that later.
Well, basically what it was when we were in Daniel, and basically the question kind of was, do angels appear to people who are not seeking the Lord? Because I can't remember times where angels were appearing to people who were living in, you know, wickedness. It seems like, you know, Daniel was praying, Jesus was praying. Like, it seems like they're coming to minister. But I know that there's a lot of people who claim that angels come and visit them, or they have different encounters.
Well, I think the Lord can speak to anybody at any time.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the possibility of an angel showing up to a wicked or unregenerate person.
But to speak to him.
I think even to speak, I think it's possible. But I think the difference is ministering to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ministering to me would be encouraging, building up, edifying, ministering unto them. And I think giving a warning.
It seems like a warning. That's what I'm saying. It seems like this ministering and would not be happening. It seems like it would be more of a warning if an angel appeared.
Well, like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, just staying in Daniel for a second. The Lord sent a dream to Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sending a dream to Nebuchadnezzar could be similar to sending an angel to Nebuchadnezzar, just to give him that warning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the angel's there to minister to Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Like, the dream was there to give a warning to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel interpreted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that, like, I think an angel could show up to an unregenerate, not born again person. But I don't think they would minister to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, I think they would give them a warning.
The conversational part of it. Like,
well, there might be a conversation. It's probably not going to be a good one.
It seems like people sometimes throw around the angelic visitation, and it's, I feel like it, we're going to have a witness of that. Like, it's not just going to be some everyday casual experience.
Well, the witness would have to be you're discerning the spirits, and the way you discern the spirits would be, like Paul gives us one way in Colossians, because at Colossae he was actually dealing with them worshiping angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he said if any other angels come and preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. So that's one way we discern a spirit. Are they, is the good news the same with them, or have they changed it? Like we said earlier, if they want to be worshipped, they're not an angel. Yeah. They're a demon or a fallen angel. If they bring glory to themselves or anything like this, or, you know, like Alice Bailey, when the Tibetan spirit came, that wasn't angelic visitation. Mm-hmm. It was just a fallen one. And
that's what I'm saying is I think that there are a lot of those instances where people are deceived by the fallen angels.
Yeah. I think, too, people, when they're reading scripture, they get confused, because I know a lot of, I'm not trying to bash some of the old churches I went to, but there was a little bit of ignorance. So they would hear angel of the Lord, and that it went, that angel of the Lord appeared before them. And so they're thinking like an actual angel. See, but if you go back and read it, a lot of times that when it says that, it's not an angel, it's him. And so it's kind of like they take these encounters these people have, like Saul had with Jesus, and that's how he became Paul. They take that as consideration that that's not him, that is an angel. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding whenever they're talking about this, that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He actually wrestled with Jesus. So I think it's the conscruity of how they're misconstruing things and how they're seeing it. And to me, it comes from the old churches that I used to go to. I'm not saying what they were. I'm not trying to call out any religions or whatever. But I think it was just a lack of understanding.
A lack of study.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, if we would just, we have to, you know, get to the Greek and the Hebrew. We were talking about that yesterday, just about how there's so many misunderstandings when we just read it for what the word in that translation is.
Yeah.
And we don't look to see what it means.
Well, I mean, take for instance, and I'm not calling this guy out either, but I think y'all probably seen it, where he was talking about the KJV Bible and how it can combat the Greek and all that stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I mean, it's like, he's like, oh, I got every scripture that can combat any Greek thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is derived from the Greek version. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's the ignorance of man, how we're not going and researching this stuff out, like what we're supposed to be. Study to show yourself approved. And these people are being ignorant, and they're teaching people to be ignorant in the pulpits. Yeah. And that's what I love about Aaron. I love about him is that he doesn't want you to just take his word for it, because he might be wrong. But he taught us how to go to the Bible and read it and get out of it what it's saying, not what some preacher told you 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem we've had in the church is, oh, I remember that being in there, and it's never in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's where, if we're not driven to the scriptures by the ministers that are preaching to us, but we're only driven to what their teachings are, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And when we do
think that we remember a scripture, we have to go look.
Yeah. but we
blend, unless you have like every scripture memorized, sometimes they blend together. Sometimes our mind is flawed. So even like earlier, I'm like, I think it has something to do with this, but I don't know where it's at. And we just have to work on finding it.
Yeah.
And backing up what we're saying. I think that's the main thing, is that I think we do here at Box 2 Radio, and we've been learning and teaching, is we have to be backed up. Yeah. Everything has to be backed up by the word.
Yeah. I'm almost got it all memorized. I'm just talking about Romans 3:23. For all I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've got that one done. So now I need the other seven.
That's an important one to know.
Or, you know,
John 3:16.
But there's some people that don't even know John 3:16. I mean, I'm not trying to say that you should know, but you should. I mean, but they're like, that scripture that preacher talks about the, and I'm like, okay, are you kidding me? You know, this is the core foundation.
Yeah. That needs to be one that you learn on the day of your salvation.
So let's use an example here. That scripture we was going to talk about. We're talking about trying to be as scriptural as we say.
Yeah.
So we use the scripture, that snippet of it, calls things into existence that are not as if they were, right?
Yeah.
That we quote that all the time.
Yeah.
But let's actually, and I'm even going to read it from the King James so nobody can say I did anything. So I'm going to go to Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read a couple verses here. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is, where no law is, there is no transgression. Romans is coming up soon for us. I think I want to do James first, and then I think I'm ready to tackle Romans.
Yeah, I'm feeling Romans too.
But I feel maybe we'll do Romans for James, because I'm feeling both, but we'll figure this out. For where there is no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace, be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. So now we transition this from talking about Abraham to now even God, who quickened the dead and calleth things that which be not as though they were. Who did this calling? It was God.
Mm-hmm.
We never say this. Like, we just say this, calling things as not as if they were. All right. So now do I think that we are not able to speak things into existence or not? I think there's a conversation to be had about other scriptures, but that's where I'm just at in my own personal life right now. This scripture doesn't say that we do it.
Yeah.
It said, even God, who quickened the dead. It's God's responsibility to quicken. I'll never quicken the dead.
Right.
He quickens the dead. Now, can he quicken the dead through me? Absolutely. Who spoke things into existence? God. Mm-hmm. I did not create gravity. All right. Now, Jacob may not think gravity's there anyways. But
plead the fifth.
But I did not create Jacob. I did not create Hannah. I did not create there. I cannot create anything. God's a creator. That's the thing that separates him. Now, but what can we do with our tongue? We give life.
Mm-hmm.
We speak life. We speak death. We encourage. We deceive. We speak truth or we lie. There's tons that we do with our tongues. And in essence, there is a truth that we speak life. But we only can speak life into things that he has formed.
Right.
And now people get really upset with me and I mess with this verse because I've done it. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to speak this into existence. No, I'm going to speak life into what's already existing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So because our responsibility is to be a minister of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
So as ministers of reconciliation, we're supposed to reconcile creation back to the creator. That's our jobs. Creation itself, according to Romans, is what? Waiting on the manifestations of the sons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not here to create more things. We're here to reconcile creation back to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And
so we're trying to create things. God's trying to get us to restore creation because he's already created.
I think whenever like I've heard people pray this, it is more, it's like we've prayed it in the way of like somebody who is not where they need to be right now, we're believing that they're going to be where they need to be.
Like just on like, faith.
Yes,
not
faith.
Not
trying to create anything.
Right.
Like, because I've never heard it used for any other reason, but I mean, the context of what it's saying is actually bringing something into existence, which we don't have the power to do. But I do think that, like, with, I think this is one of those things. If our intention is biblical and is in faith,
alignment with his,
wanting to see somebody set free, saved, a prodigal return home, I think the Lord will still answer that prayer, because even though we were using this scripture that was out of context, if that makes sense. But I think it's important to know the context so that it's not confusing to other people and we're not giving people...
Well, I actually think when you understand the proper order of what's taking place here, it actually releases us with greater confidence. Because now I'm not the one in task of creating.
Right.
I'm the one in task of dominion, having dominion over what God has created. So now it's not my responsibility to be the creative one. It's not my responsibility to save anybody. Mm-hmm. I can't save them.
Right.
Yeah.
My job is just to do my job, to stay in my lane.
Yeah.
And so what happens is so often we want to be God more than we'll ever admit.
Right.
Yeah.
And we so it's his will that no man should perish.
Mm-hmm.
That's his will. He's already created that will. His will's already created. So now when we pray for somebody to be born again, we're establishing ourselves into what he's already dictated.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're actually solidifying his word, and now we're governing his word into the earth. And so when I pray over somebody, I'm not speaking something into existence. The existence already been spoken.
Yeah.
He's already paid the cost.
Yeah, the alignment thing.
And it just goes back to people, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, I think that's where a lot of people get that from. I said, when you're calling those things out as though they were, like you were saying, it doesn't really, it's not saying, oh, God, give me a new Lamborghini, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like something. But when you're, and it goes back to Mark 11:24, where it says, therefore I say unto you what things you should desire when you pray, you believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We're talking about when you come into alignment with the Father and what he's asking, his desires become your desires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like no longer yourself, that you're starting to pray the Father's desires and what he wants in the place that you're at.
Right. But
like you go back to what Aaron says, you're aligning yourself up with the Creator, the one who does, that can do these things. And you're coming to an alignment with him because we're an extension of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that sometimes. We're an extension of his hand. That's why I believe there's so much about washing of our hands, keeping our hands clean. The blood is on your hands. I think we're an extension of his hands. We got to remember to keep our hands clean. And we could go into talking more about that later. But I just think that when we're coming to an alignment with the Father and his will for this earth, and your desires of your heart becomes the desires of his heart, that's where the transformation has to happen. And that's where we're going to start saying, when you're praying for a believer, God, I want to see these people saved. But whatever you got to do to get them, please do it, God, because I'm standing in the gap right now for them. You do whatever you got to do, God. And so sometimes you might hear, man, this guy, I had a friend of mine, I was praying for him, and he was making fun of me being a prophet. And he's like, I said, you better be careful. I'm just putting it out there. I said, don't come against God's people and expect that. I said, he's going to get you, because he was kind of falling away, kind of questioning God's stuff. I said, dude, I'm telling you, he's real. I said, you better be careful. Something might happen. God will get you attention. I don't know what he's going to do, and I'm not praying anything bad to happen to you. I'm just saying, just be careful. Don't come against God's anointing. And he comes to me, Jacob, the next week after, he comes to me, I remember what you said, man, and I'm going back to church. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, I was going down the road, and a rock flew out, and I was driving my motorcycle, and I hit this rock, and it threw me down a hill, and I scratched my back up, and the only thing I think about is what I was doing to you. And I was like, he said, but it caught me that I needed to get my life right. And he went back to church and got his life right with the Lord. And I said, be careful coming against God's anointed, coming against God's people, because he's going to do something to get your attention. But my desire was for him to be saved. I wanted him to be saved. not just because he was making fun of God's people. I said, I want you to be saved, dude. That's the intention of my heart is for you. And I said, whatever, God, you got to do to get his attention. And sometimes I'm like, man, he had a few scratches on his back, scratched up, but it was kind of funny in a way because I was like, I said, I'm not making fun of you for having a wreck, but it was kind of crazy how God did what he did. And a lot of people are like, oh, God didn't do that. Yeah, he did. I said, he does things to get their attention sometimes. He did that to me. And I said, it's not always cupcakes and rainbows, right. You know. So,
well, like you talk about creative miracles. So people say, well, don't you have the ability to pray for creative miracles? Well, for one, the miracle's not coming from me.
Right.
And here's another thing. Even Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he did so many miracles. The Bible actually says if we recounted everything that he did here on the earth couldn't basically contain the books, right?
Yeah.
But yet, what was the statement he made? I do nothing unless I see the Father first.
Mm.
Jesus wasn't doing anything with his own power.
True.
Even here on the earth, Jesus was not creating things from himself. He only did what the Father said.
Yep.
That's good.
Amen.
He only mimicked the Father.
So that's a warning to us. Well, we will go ahead and go to break, and we will be right back here after the break with Asher Bach and hear what God's doing in his life. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network, and we have evangelist Asher Bach here with us. Are you on the air with us?
I am. How are you?
Awesome. We are good. I'm doing good, and we're just excited. I'll introduce the ones we have here in the room. So everybody knows I'm Hannah. You know me, but this is Jacob.
I know you, yeah.
Jacob Swift is in here.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
We have Kaylee Stone in here with us.
Hello.
Hello.
And then we have Pastor Aaron in there in the producing room.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you guys.
Do you have any funny stories about Hannah? I had some good ones. Our interviewer yesterday had some really good stories about her. You got anything good for us?
I don't have anything funny, but I will say that not to pump her head up at all, but Hannah is anointed in singing. And I do remember a play that we had at our church, a church that me and my family were attending, where she attended for about 7 years, and I remember her singing a part in that play, and me and my wife just said, my gosh, wow, God has really given her a gift in that, and I don't know how much she's using it for, but I just think that she's an awesome young lady. But no, nothing funny, because, you know, Hannah and I don't really know each other on that level where we spent, like, a lot of time around each other, but she's been a blessing to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a while, too. I was in high school when we crossed paths at church, so it's been a long time. But not this isn't about me, but I do appreciate that. And I actually I'm using the gift. I'm not bearing it, so I'm still I'm letting the Lord develop that with worship and different things. And I also appreciate that gift in you, too. You've led worship for a season. Are you still leading worship, or?
No, I'm not. I actually have a ministry, Asher Bach Ministries, and I'm traveling extensively. I literally am traveling around the world. So that's what I'm doing now, and I give God all the glory because I'm the least person that I thought he would have used. So
that's what I was curious to see if you still did, you know, anything with worship within your ministry, but it sounds like you're pretty focused on, you know, spreading the word that God's given you. And so kind of talk to us about how the Lord led you from where you were in ministry. I know it was a lot of worship, but you also ministered and would share your testimony through that as well. But how did the Lord lead you into your ministry that you have now?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, to each of you that I was able to meet briefly on today, thank you for having me. I've done a little bit of radio, but not a lot, but I'm grateful to be here with you all. I was born again October 29th, 2013, and I won't take, you know, all that time to share a ton of that, but, you know, I went through 11 years of really deep, dark sin in my life that God delivered me from. And then Not long after that, I think probably 2 years after that, I come to Potter's Hope, and you know, that's where I began to lead worship and whatnot. And God had called me, though, previously to you know, leading worship, to preach. But the reality is, at times in life, God has to take us through a process, and so everybody's process is different. Mine was a long process, about 7 years of God creating me to be the man that he wanted me to be, and you know, pulling me out of some things that were deeply entrenched, even though we all know when we're born again, we become a new creation. However, there are still things that can linger.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had explained to the pastor there that I was called to preach, and he just said, listen, when that time comes, God will unravel all that, and it'll happen. So in 2021, I think that was December of 2021, I had a very awesome encounter with the Lord, and he told me, hey, it's time. I want you to do this full time. I want you to preach my word. And so I went to the pastor there at the church, you know, Hannah, you and I attended, and told him. And, you know, the church graciously released us. And to say that God has not done incredible things, I mean, I am still today in awe of going from having zero invites to preach anywhere, nothing on social media, to now traveling and preaching in five different countries, five different states in the United States. It's just incredible. And so my life is a story of, if you will just obey what God calls you to do and take those steps forward, I always say this, that God will give you more in the go. But if you don't go, God cannot give you the more.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
So that's how I got to where I was, where I am today. Just, you know, going through that process and being patient, because, you know, there was many times within that, those several years at, you know, at Potter's, where I wanted to just go, but God's like, it's not time. Mm-hmm. The process, I'm not done yet with you. We gotta get some things finished. We gotta get some things solidified. And so that's how I got to where I am today.
Wow. You know, that's actually been the word of this year for a lot of people, is go.
Yes.
And I definitely, that just resonates so much, because, oh, you know, it's that faith. It's that if we're not putting action to our faith, then it's dead. And it's like prime time, I feel like, for the Lord trying to get his bride in a place where we're being, we're growing, and we're getting to conformed into the bride that he wants to return for. And I think this, like, that testimony plays so much into that, because how would you be into the bride, conforming into the bride, without going and being in that assignment that he's laid out for you, you know? And there was a purpose for the season, but now it's another season. And
absolutely,
that's so encouraging. I have Miss Kaylee Stone in here, and this is definitely resonating with her, because you should see her face as you're sharing your testimony. She's like, like, I can just see her face, that, you know, she's in that preparation, but like, she's looking forward to the releasing. And how would you kind of encourage, I didn't plan on asking you this, but how would you maybe encourage believers who are in that waiting? You said you had like a 7 year process.
7 years exactly.
If you could go back and like tell yourself, like give some wisdom to yourself, what wisdom could you give to those of us who are maybe in that seven, it might not be 7 years, but in that season?
I would say be more patient, and also find older men and women of God. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because I always want to be careful. Mm-hmm. You got to find the right ones. It can't just be anybody. Not just everybody that says I'm an older man or woman of God, you know, truly has wisdom, because wisdom doesn't come with gray hair necessarily. Wisdom comes with relationship and time in the Lord and consistency. But I would say just be more patient. I would have been more patient with myself, and I would have found more men and women that had been doing what God was calling me to do longer, and spent more time with them, because there were many, 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 many days that I felt alone. I felt discouraged, and kind of the thought of, God, I know it's going to happen, but when, God? But when, God?
Yeah.
And just having people to be able to open up to and say, hey, this is what God's called me to. Would there be any way that I could meet with you monthly, weekly, and just share with you what he's showing me? You help me kind of develop this, what he's put in me. And just to be more patient with yourself, because it's very easy when God's called you to something and you have a sincere heart to serve, to not just want to get up and you know, run. Mm-hmm. But you just got to be more patient and then find godly influence, more godly influence to glean from.
Wow, that is so rich there. And what I love about what you just said is you aren't putting the demand on everyone else. You're actually taking responsibility for saying, you know what, I'm not going to have a mindset of expecting these ones to reach out to me. I'm going to reach out to them.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to ask. I'm going to find people. I'm not going to expect them to come find me. I'm going to make an effort to go and find spiritual mothers and fathers who are consistent.
Yeah.
And I think that I just love that, because I think that that is an issue. I can see it in my generation, but honestly, I just see it in the world today of the come and serve me, or that we're like entitled for everybody to just come to us if we're struggling, or come find us. But we're sometimes not willing to take that step of courage or faith to reach out and go after what we know that the Lord is showing us we need,
right.
such as community. And I love that you said that, because I think that guards us against those feelings of offense, that spirit of offense, and our feelings, because that will create delay too. And I'm sure I'm sure in that. You know, you said that it was a pretty long process. So I'm sure within that you probably experienced some delay in certain situations. And what I've seen is that offense really being a big problem for delay.
Yeah.
Well, and exactly what you said. I'm a very transparent person. I'm just not that kind of person that tries to be fake. And I live on the mountaintop all the time, because trust me, I'm in the valley quite often. And God pulls me out of it. And, you know, I think that's common for, I think it's common for any Christian that's really serving the Lord, but especially those that are going and really seeking the Lord to have a word ready and, you know, wanting his presence to be shown. But I definitely had some seasons of offense in those 7 years of like, man, why is nobody like, helping me? Why is nobody opening doors? Why is nobody giving me opportunity? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And now that I look back, I'm like, man, thank God that no one did, because I wasn't ready.
Right.
And we will always be growing. So I'm not saying after these 7 years, God perfected me and now it's like, man, he's perfect. But God has to get you to a place where you can be trusted.
Yeah.
So, I definitely went through seasons of offense, and that could have delayed some of it. But, just be patient with yourself, and that's a really good word, Hannah. Definitely don't be offended, because the Bible says that there has been a root of bitterness that has grown down into many and corrupted many. So that bitterness is that root of offense, and it corrupts you, and it will actually cause you to be used much less for the Lord.
Wow.
I was just thinking of Jacob and how he always was looking. He was always searching for that blessing. I mean, you can call Jacob for what he is. They say supplanter or trickster. But I always heard, even coming out of the womb, he was clinging on the heel of Esau. And he was like, you know, I'm going to be the one. And he was taking that hill was not going to crush his head. And just like he tricked his father, and he wanted the blessing. And then he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, because his tenacity is where I think a lot of us need to be today, is that tenacity to go after what God has intended for us to do. Because
I love that.
They're going to become, he's going to change the whole course of God's people and become a nation, you know. So that's where we're thinking this is where we need to have that tenacity, because God's got something bigger than who we are, but we got to go after the blessing that he has for us in order for us to walk out what he's about to do in the earth through our, you know, through what he wants us to do. So that's great.
Wow. Well, I do want to ask this too, before we get into kind of what the Lord's speaking to you right now in this season. Was it hard for you? Did you kind of said that you, the Lord had spoken about preaching to you already. So was it hard for you to kind of step away from worship, or you're living your life of worship, but like serving in that way with leading worship?
No, not to cut you off. And to be fair, I loved where we were. I love worship. God, you know, God's given me a gift, several of my brothers and sisters a gift for it. But this is the way I believe. I believe that the word and worship must marry and become one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the word always must take precedence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a there's this focus in the body of Christ now where worship has more importance than the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the word that is sort of the spirit in which we fight against the enemy that must take, you know, center stage. And so with as much time as had gone by through the process, when the Lord released me and I met with the pastor there and I did it the right way, by the way, you know, don't ever just leave a church body that you've been a part of and just skip town, you know, do it the right way. But God really gave me peace about it. I felt an excitement to go out and on this new adventure. And God had also given me, and I knew this was another sign, because God will give you different signs in your life. But one of the signs was there was starting to be discontentment when I stepped down from the platform from worship. I was like, man, things aren't feeling the same. And I knew that was God shifting me to a different season of my life. So, No, I don't think it was hard. I think it was hard, you know, leaving my church family.
Yeah.
But stepping into what God, you know, the perfect will of God. You know, the Bible talks about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think that I'm living in the perfect will of God now for my life. So I think it was relatively easy.
Yeah. So how does it look different now that you're traveling and evangelizing and still not forsaking assembling with other believers, like to keep you accountable to fellowship and things like that? How does that look different now? And then after you answer that, then go into what the Lord's speaking to you in this season.
Yeah. So it honestly, it's a very hard balance. I'm going to be very honest. The good news is I do have someone, and because I'm just this way, I'm not, maybe others aren't, but I'm picky about who I would call a spiritual father in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to just come up under somebody because, you know, they've got, you know, they're giving me position or whatever it is. I want somebody that's full of the love of God, that's a servant to the body of Christ. And I'm very grateful that God just worked a miracle and paired me with a man, Bishop Tim Richards, who pastors Victory Life Church in Salem, Oregon. And I would publicly say that he's my spiritual father. And so that is awesome to have that accountability and being accountable to someone, because we need that. But it is very hard, like you said, to not forsake yourself with the assembly of the body of Christ when you're traveling so much. And then when you get home, you're so exhausted that a Sunday morning comes around and you're kind of like, I don't want to go to church service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to sleep.
That's real talk.
But the good news is I see it a little differently. So when I'm traveling and I preach, like, you know, on Sunday night services, Wednesday night services, to me that is me being a part of the body there fellowshipping. So that happens often, of course. But you know, when I'm home, we have a church family here that my wife and daughter really, really love, and I'm able to go with them from time to time. And so it's a hard balance. But you just make it work, and just stay in love with the people of God, because, you know, if you don't, then it becomes like a job, or it becomes all about you. It can go south really quick.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a big balance. It really is. But you can make it work. God gives us the grace to accomplish and do whatever it is that He's called us to, and then also the add-ons to be able to take care of those things.
The provision.
Amen. Yes. But, you know, I would say when you reached out to me, Hannah, just a few days ago, God really has me in one general area of what He's speaking to me right now. And I know it's going to kind of sound like, well, of course you would say this because you're an evangelist. But I really feel like that God has been speaking to me that we need Christians who will share their faith with others. I know it sounds simple, but we need like never before to evangelize the world that is dying and on their way to hell. That's the reality.
Yeah.
And time is running short. And, you know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that God has given some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So God has given the body of Christ these ministry gifts through these fivefold ministry gifts to equip the body for what? To do the work. And I think that we have there's a plague in the body of Christ right now where it is, come listen to me, and that's it. You know, just come listen to me on the platform, and everything will be okay, but we are to be equipping the body of Christ to go do the work. And, you know, God has just been simply speaking to me about the power of the witness.
Wow.
You know, you look at one of the greatest examples of this is the woman at the well. She has an encounter with Jesus. She goes back into her town and says, come and see a man that told me everything about my life.
Hallelujah.
So they all, and by the way, what's beautiful about that is the first evangelist was a woman. I'll leave it at that. I don't know what y'all's theology thought is, but she went into the town and she said, come and see a man, tell me everything about my life, everything I've done. And they all come, and it says they spend a few days with Jesus. And this is beautiful what they say. They say, now we don't believe because of your word, but we believe because we have heard and seen him for ourselves.
Amen. Wow.
There's got to be a disattachment from the umbilical cord. So you can take people along with you, but eventually they've got to disconnect to have a real relationship for themselves.
Wow.
And when you'll go out and evangelize the world, and that power of the witness, you know, that's what we need right now. We need Christians that are boldly unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And one of the things that's awesome is that every single one of us, I teach people this all the time, that's one of the mandates of my life, is to equip the body to not put fivefold ministers on a pedestal. Don't put me on in some throne. We are all the same. I just have a different gifting that is to help you.
Yeah.
And I love that that every single one of us that's born again is God's witness. Every one of us. And the Bible says in one of my favorite verses in the Bible, in Matthew 24:14, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come.
Right, yeah.
And this is kind of maybe a statement you all have never heard, but I believe one of the reasons that the end has not come is because, yes, the gospel surely has been preached in every nation, but listen to this, has it been the gospel?
Oh,
Paul says there's another gospel that's gone out.
Hmm.
And it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a gospel that he called a cancer. And so, you know, it's very clear when it says this gospel, not a gospel, just gospel of the kingdom, this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to make it clear, Jesus wanted to make it clear that it's this gospel of the kingdom that should be preached in the whole world as a witness to every nation, then the end will come. So, you know, we have a responsibility to share the good news that Jesus saves with the world. It's not something that we have to do. It's not something that is burdensome. We literally have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility to share the truth so that the world doesn't go to hell. I'd use this kind of a, I don't know if you would call this an analogy or I guess a comparison, but if you are walking by a home that is ablaze, like on fire, ablaze, well, I would say most good Samaritan would be going and yelling, is there anybody in the house? And if there is, get out. The house is on fire. Get out. And I think in our Christian walk that we need to see every day our walk like that of saying, man, God or Jesus, you know, used, you know, the comparison of houses, like our body is a house. It houses the Holy Spirit. It's
a
temple.
That's good.
And so there's houses walking around us all day long. And many of them are on fire. And we need to call them out of the flames into his marvelous light. And so, you know, it's so important for us to have a revelation of that.
Yeah.
That time is running short.
The time is now.
Know that every one of us on here, if we saw somebody, you know, in right in the path of danger, we would try our best to get them off that path, away from that danger. And we have to see this the same way.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many go therein. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, Asher, we have like 1 minute left, and I want you to be able to tell, this has been awesome, and this resonates. I know this is a word for the body of Christ right now,
sure.
Because we're all evangelists. We might not have an office or a specific call, but we're called to evangelize.
Yes.
But go ahead and give like your information on how people can connect with you, because I follow what you post on Facebook, just what the Lord's speaking to you. Just get your information out there if people want to connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first, I apologize. I didn't know how much time I had, and sometimes preachers can go a little longer. But
it's okay.
So the best way to find me, go to my website, asherbach.com, and all of my social media is linked on there. I've got a bunch of awesome stuff on there. You know, you can contact me there. People can invite me there to preach there. There's a place to leave your testimony or a prayer request. So literally just asherbach.com. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, all of my links to my social media will be there. And you can really connect with me best there.
Okay, thank you so much, Asher, for coming on and just a powerful word. We will see you later. Be blessed.
God bless you.
All right, we are out of time this morning. We will be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Have a blessed day.